This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Welcome to Feed Form Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, retired dairy extension specialist from the University of Illinois, where Mike is wearing layers these days as we bundle up on a February version of Feed Form Friday.
Lessons learned from the polar vortex on the dairy farm. And I think most of us are seeing the tremendously cold temperatures we had here in January 29th, 30th, 31st, and February 1st here in the Midwest. And that included Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, South Dakota, and North Dakota. And we say cold, you know all about it. Just as a refresher, we had temperatures, some accurate temperatures of minus 26 to minus 30, and up in the Minnesota-Wisconsin area, wind chills that approached minus 60 degrees. And so I thought, Bill, it might be useful to look at four different aspects that we had to deal with and things we learned from that. Hopefully we will not have to face that again in the near future. First of all, let's talk about people. And as everybody saw in the news, 5 minutes of outside was about the maximum time you could be exposed without experiencing frostbite. So what do farmers on dairy farms do? Well, they basically dressed in layers. And as I talked to one dairyman, he got up to 4 layers, he said, and his son had 6 layers. I'm not quite sure how you get 6 layers, but that's where they're at. Frequent warm-ups were key, of course, to be sure that you didn't stay out there in extended periods of time. And the good news is some of the equipment was protected, so you would have some heat coming from engines and skid steers and stuff like that. So certainly that was challenging, and as one farmer said, he was spending 16-plus hours a day out working on his dairy farm. So long days because things just go a lot slower and things need to be done. Let's then move to the cattle. And there are about 3 groups of cattle on dairy farms. First of all is the milk cows. And, of course, the milk cows, they have to be milked 2 or 3 times a day, which means that we have to have that equipment running, get cows back and forth wherever they're going to be milked. And perhaps the big challenge we have there is frostbite on teat ends. So certainly teat dipping and drying teats become a very big factor. And cows that are going to have calves sometimes will have swelling or edema. And, of course, that restricts blood flow, and that, of course, makes the mammary gland more vulnerable as well. I think the neat thing to think about both on cows and heifers, Bill, is that actually in that room when we have the equivalent of a furnace you'd have in your modest-sized house running. So these cows will generate heat, and typically about 10 below zero, these cows can generate all the heat they need coming from their rumens. Let's talk about heifers. A lot of these are going to be outside, but the good news, heifers have long hair coats, and so therefore they have some insulation value there. But now the real trick, of course, is called wind chill. So if they're out exposed to those wind chills, then it is really, really cold. So if there's some type of a protection, be it trees, wooded areas, a windbreak on a fence, something like that, that can really help them out as far as that goes, and of course keep that furnace running. Perhaps the one that needs to be managed the most carefully is the calf itself, and therefore she has very little fat, and of course she has no long hair, therefore she's very much at risk and has a lot of surface area. Quickly, let's talk about the equipment. We got to keep motors running, keep them plugged in, and block warmings as far as that goes. And, of course, we talk about equipment is water. Water is critical. How do you keep water flowing at those very, very low temperatures? And we know if water is critical for dry matter intake along with manure handling. As far as feeding goes, Bill, the lessons learned there is that these animals will eat a lot of feed. So let's go free choice on these animals. On dairy cows, we saw farmers adding, for example, 1 pound of added fat to the ration out there as well. For heifers, we add a grain, 3 to 4 pounds of barley or corn, because that would generate more heat, make them rumens run hotter, and of course an extra feeding of calves and spike that with some extra fat as well. So the bottom line, lessons learned here, Bill, is cows will eat more. They didn't drop in milk production, which surprised a lot of us, and we heard of no losses on livestock or dairy farms. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike, and stay warm. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, retired dairy extension specialist from the University of Illinois.
Cottonseed in your dairy ration could mean more cash in your pocket, because cottonseed's high fat content makes it an excellent source of energy for milk production. Plus, it can increase the butterfat content of the milk your cows produce. Add it up, and it all means better milk in the tank and more money in your bank.
To get the most out of your feed, just add cottonseed.
Feed your bottom line. Order online at wholecottonseed.com.
Last week's big jump in the global dairy trade auction was good news for the global dairy market, but the U.S. is not benefiting as much from it as we thought. Lee Milkey joins us on our Milkey Monday, and we'll talk with High Ground Dairy's Director of Market Intelligence, Lucas Feese. Join us for that on Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm Bill Baker. Dairy Radio Now.